Good evening. My name is Donna Cease, and I'm Spiritual Programs Coordinator here at Kadampa Center. And I just wanted to let you all know about a great opportunity coming up this weekend. We have a visiting teacher coming in, Venerable Amy Miller. She'll be here Friday evening, all day Saturday, and also all day Sunday, teaching our usual Sunday morning session and then continuing her little, her workshop is on, I ran in from the office. I'm really out of shape. And then her Sunday workshop, Sunday morning she'll teach the regular Dharma. And the workshop is on awakening the fully open heart, which is awakening the heart of bodhicitta that really loves and cherishes others. And Venerable Amy is a wonderful teacher. She's really good at making the teachings of the Dharma very practical and down home and applicable in our daily lives. So you're welcome to come to that. With as with all of our Dharma offerings, we don't charge a fee to come, but of course we always welcome donations. That's what keeps the lights on and enables us to keep offering classes. And also, since this is the last evening of the meditation class, we also always want to show our deep appreciation for the teachers who share their knowledge for us. And so I have a little offering for Venerable Lama to thank her for the class.
Welcome to the last session of Meditation 101. So let's start with meditation practice. You can do any one you want, except don't do the one where you yell "pet" really loudly. Okay. All right. So I'll start. I'll sound the bell once to begin and twice to end. Would anyone like to share any, experiences, whether they're positive, negative, obstacles, questions so far? Anyone? No? Okay. So if you have not handed in a completion card and you attended all the classes and did all the meditation, would you please hand them in now? No? That's it? Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Okay. All right. Okay. So now I'd like to talk about how to establish a long-term practice. So hopefully you've already have been practicing for the past few weeks. And now we need to know whether about prolonging this, about continuing this practice. So the way to establish any long-term practice that you want to do is to focus and to think about the benefits of the practice. And then when you think of that, then you enthusiasm, perseverance will arise. You know, you want to continue. So what are the benefits? Well, the main benefit for a meditation practice is that it transforms the mind, you know, from negative to positive, because that's, you know, by the purpose and the power of meditation. The definition was to it comes from the Tibetan word gom, which means to become familiar with something. And that's the meditation object of your choice, whether that's your breath or an image, a flower, light, whatever that you choose. So that's, the main benefit, you know, transforming your mind. And, of course, there are the three types, you know, review, analytical, and concentration meditation. And concentration produces a calm and peaceful mind, so that which would increase. So even though this has been taught over 2,500 years ago, historically, there has been quite a few scientific experiments and studies so far on meditation. Different kinds. There's been mindful meditation or stress reduction meditation, so forth. But there was one in particular. Well, there's one done in 2008 by Richard Davidson at the University of Madison, Wisconsin-Madison. And what they did, you may have already heard this. They had 8 long-term practitioners. I think they were all monks, who have been practicing meditation for years and years. And then they also had 10 student practitioners who were not familiar with meditation or novices. I think they were novices to meditation. And what they did was they put this skull cap on with, 128 electrodes. And they put them through an fMRI machine, looks like an MRI machine. And then they told them to focus on loving kindness or compassion. And what happened in those, in the brains of the long-term practitioners, the part of the brain that's called the gamma band lit up. It was lit up 30 times greater than those of the novice practitioners. So, and it sustained longer too. It was the largest seen in non-pathological conditions and 30 times greater than in the student volunteers' brains. So there's, scientific, evidence that, meditation practice is very beneficial. And of course, Dr. Davidson has done more, experiments. In fact, let's see, the two of them, that you may know are, Mingyur Rinpoche and, Venerable Mathieu Ricard, the, French, monk. Both of them were in that study. And I know that, at least Mingyur Rinpoche has said that he went back several times to Madison, Wisconsin, to do more experiments on his brain, and it showed the benefits. So to have a calm and peaceful world, happy world, we need to find peace in our own mind, in our own attitude. In other words, we need to know ourselves, as he says, like Socrates said, know thyself. And the biggest and quickest way the only way to help others also is to help ourselves first. So when we're on the cushion, meditation cushion, or on the chair when we're practiced, we use introspection, or that mental spy, to see whether we're right on course, or whether we are being distracted by excitement or laxity, whether we're getting drowsy. And then, of course, over and over again, we label our thoughts, we let it go, and we keep refocusing back again and again on our meditation object until we can, hold that meditation object longer and longer. So, there have been practitioners who have succeeded in maintaining this, who have attained calm abiding meditation, all the stages, and so that they can bring up the meditation object whenever they want, whatever object they choose, whenever they want to, and as long as they want to. And they can do this for days, for weeks, for months, and years. They are just incredible practice. So, and they all began just like us. It's possible to do this, except that if you want to go to that extent, there are also other requirements, prerequisites that you have to have. Dwelling in a perfect place and so forth. There are, several prerequisites to be able to do this. So that's meditation practice. How do we bring this into our everyday lives between sessions? So what we do is, just like we used introspection when we're practicing meditation, we watch our mind and see how it reacts to things outside ourselves. So we see when anger arises, how does that feel? What does it do? Does your hand shake? What happens? When things get in our way, of what we want, or when things that we don't like suddenly crop up and anger arises. Or what happens to your mind when pride arises, when someone praises you for something. Or maybe we might get carried away with some of the challenges that hit us unexpectedly. And then we get, disappointment when we make a mistake, or there's a failure in something that we've done that we wanted to succeed in. So, knowing ourselves, when we understand how our mind works, then when we know our minds intimately, then we realize that our external world is changing constantly. Just as when we're on meditation cushion, our thoughts keep coming and going, we're labeling. It's just as impermanent and changing like that all the time. And we realize that, of course, scientifically we know that everything is changing moment by moment. When you think of the atomic level, subatomic level, we know that this room and the people who are in it, when we came in a few minutes ago, we are all completely different, and so is this room, and it's all the objects in it. It's not the same as we are, just as a river is not the same, as it passes through. It's all continually changing. So when we know that, and we realize how our minds react to outside stimuli, then when bad things happen, we're not so torn apart. And then when good things happen, we're not carried away either. So our mind becomes calmer and peaceful no matter what happens. So rather than trying to control things outside ourselves, which is, just about impossible, what we try to do is we try to learn to control ourselves, our attitudes, our reactions to the things that are happening around us, and rather than letting that control us. So when you think of it in a secular level, what we're doing here in this meditation practice and in our mindfulness practice between sessions, in our awareness, we're actually reprogramming our brain. You know, our brain is constantly changing. It's very plastic. It's not permanent. It's not the end of the world, if you think that you're not going to get any better or you have some tremendous fears or anxieties. It's not. It can be changed. So what we do is we focus on the positive views and the outcomes and stop repeating those habitual, negative, self-defeating thoughts. And we rewire our brain and we reinforce those positive thoughts over and over again. And we do this through this long-term meditation practice and through mindfulness, using them as tools. And then that's how, we make our mind more pliable and our bodies more pliable. The stress decreases, the heart rate goes down. Become calmer and peaceful. And then we can be able to react to things more in a better way, in a more skillful way than we have previously. So our mind becomes calmer and more peaceful every day in every circumstance. So it's not like the waves of an ocean or the ups and downs of the stock market. It becomes much more even as it is like, say, in the depths of an ocean where it's very quiet and calm and doesn't seem to be changing, right? Compared to the waves at the surface of the ocean, if you think of it that way. Okay. So what I like to do is, I don't know if you've done this at home, but the Body of Light meditation, it's handout number 11. So if you would please get into your meditation posture. And if you've never been here before, if this is your first class, just keep your back straight. And sit comfortably. Try to relax any of the tension anywhere in your body. If you're sitting on a chair, try to keep your feet flat on the floor, and if that's uncomfortable, put a cushion under your feet. And focus on your breath. Either going in and out of your nostrils or the rising and falling of your abdomen. And when your mind is calm, clear, think of an altruistic motivation for this meditation practice. Visualize in the space above your head a sphere of white light, pure, transparent, and formless. and somewhat smaller than the size of your head. Don't worry if it does not appear sharply. It is enough just to feel it is there, the white, pure, transparent, formless light. Contemplate that the sphere of light represents all universal goodness, love, and wisdom. The fulfillment of your own highest potential. Then visualize that it decreases in size until it is a small, bright sphere about 1 inch in diameter. This small ball of pure white light descends through the top of your head to your heart center. From there, it begins to expand once more, slowly spreading to fill your entire body. As it does, all the solid parts of your body dissolve and become light. Your organs, bones, blood vessels, tissue, and skin all become pure, formless, white light. Concentrate on the experience of your body as a body of light. Think that all problems, negativities, and hindrances have completely vanished, and that you have reached a state of wholeness and perfection. Feel serene and joyful. If any thought or distracting object should appear in your mind, let it also dissolve into white light. And finally, dedicate your positive energy and insights to the well-being and happiness of all living beings. Okay, does anyone have any questions so far? Questions, comments? No? Okay. So now I'd like to talk about the disadvantages of a discriminating mind. And so what it is of course, someone who distinguishes people as a friend, enemy, or stranger. Okay? So these biases arise from our habitual patterns of aversion and attachment. You know, we judge people. We think that, you know, someone who is offensive or who said something, you know, mean to you might is an enemy and so forth. But then when you really think about it, friends can turn into enemies with just one unkind word. And strangers and enemies can become friends. And either one can, well, an enemy or a friend could move away and sort of disappear from your life and never return again and so becomes a stranger. Especially if you, you know, forget anything about the experiences you had with that person. So when we think about an enemy, we sort of exaggerate all the negative things, the hateful things that they've done, and we think that they deserve to suffer. And we think, of course, they never can change. They'll always be like that. And everybody feels like that, you know, about this person. But actually, that's not true, because there might be other people who feel completely different about that same person. They may see only positive traits. You know, they may think that person is a delightful person, funny, and a wonderful friend. So what we're doing is we're just merely labeling them as an enemy or as a bad person. They're not inherently bad, meaning they were bad from the time they were born, you know, all the way till you met them. So they're capable of doing good things. They can change, and they suffer just as we do. So what we can do is we can try to see, you know, their perspective, you know, from their point of view, walk around in their shoes. And I guess most important, we need to separate the person from the action. Anger is a very painful mind. It disturbs our peace. It's said that anger is like taking poison, thinking that the other person will die, or holding a fireball, hoping that the other person will burn. And then we have equanimity, just the opposite. And so the benefits of equanimity, well, one is to know that every being, whether they're an animal or an insect, a person, they all have the same wish and desire. They all want to be happy. They all run away from suffering. No one wants to suffer. And everyone, every single person, including yourself, deserves to be happy. No one deserves to suffer. Nobody. This is universal. And the objects of our attachment and anger are different from person to person. But we all want the same thing. We all want to be happy. So by definition, equanimity is non-attachment, non-anger, and non-ignorance. So I like to read something. It's based on a book by Sharon Salzberg. Equanimity is like being the earth. Every day, all kinds of things are cast upon the earth. Dreadful things that pollute our environment for now and centuries from now. And beautiful things that delight our senses and nourish the earth. The earth accepts them all without hesitation and sustains them in its integrity. So we too can be like the earth. Another comparison is rain or the sun. The sun shining. You know, some discriminate. Say, oh, I'll just, you know, shine right here on this person. It just goes everywhere. And also, as I said, rain also. It doesn't discriminate. It just falls, you know, wherever. So that's kind of the mindset we need to have. We welcome what comes into our lives, and we let go of what goes out of our lives. So like the earth, we can take the situations and bring the beings all around us and see that we're all alike. We're all the same. And we all get sick. Hopefully we get old, you know, and we have problems. We make mistakes. We die. We're all the same. So having this mind of equanimity helps us to have a calm and stress-free, peaceful mind. So rather than feeling disconnected, separate from others, we see our connection with others. And we see them free of bias, suspicion, envy, fear, anger. So, for example, at work, instead of, you know, trying to having a mind, you know, especially when people are being laid off, we might have this mind of abundance, you know, rather than holding things to ourselves. So Venerable Pema Chodron, she used to be the abbess of Gampalambi, and she's written many books. She said, realize that wherever we go for the rest of our lives, we are always in the middle of the universe, and a sacred circle is always around us. Only with equanimity can we realize that no matter what comes along, we're always standing in the middle of this sacred space. Only with equanimity can we see that everything and everyone that come into our circle has come to teach us what we need to know. So does anyone have any questions about equanimity, discrimination, so forth? Okay. So what I'd like to do is the equanimity meditation, which is handout number 12. So again, if you get into your meditation posture, sort of relax, sit comfortably, and generate your strong intention to do this meditation in order to overcome our self-centered bias and judgments and develop the mind of perfect equanimity and balance toward others. Imagine in the space in front of you three people. Someone you like, someone you dislike, and someone you feel indifferent toward. Keep these three images in your mind throughout the meditation. Now first focus on your friend. Allow your feelings for that person to arise strongly. Feel your conviction that this person is definitely and truly a friend. That is, a person who is good to you and fulfills your needs and wishes. Feel how you really want this person to be happy. Identify yourself with these good feelings. Now shift your attention to your enemy, the person you dislike and who is not kind to you, who does not satisfy your needs, who annoys you and makes you angry, who hurts you. Regard this person carefully. Look carefully at the feelings you have about this person. Finally, shift your attention to the so-called stranger, the person you just barely know, but whom you neither like nor dislike. Look carefully at that person and note carefully your feelings of indifference. Now consider and recognize that the nature of your relationships with each of these three people and the labels you have put on each of them are based solely on what they do or don't do for you at this point in time. Think of people who have been your friend, but then became your enemy, and vice versa. Or strangers who became friends or enemies. Each of these labels is temporary and impermanent, just what the situation is at the current time. Now move your attention back to your friend and imagine a situation that would cause the friendship to end. Imagine your friend turning against you. Experience the resentment and anger and hurt that you feel in such a situation. Do you still feel warm, friendly feelings toward that person? Do you still wish him or her well? Want that person to be happy? Where is your friend now? Remember that this person was not your friend before you were acquainted. Recognize how easily this person could cease to be your friend now, just as you have imagined. Think to yourself that there is no sound reason for feeling kind and loving toward only the friend of this moment. Relationships have changed in the past and will continue to change. Today's friend can become tomorrow's enemy. Now move your attention to the present enemy. Imagine a situation in which you could be drawn together and become close. A common interest, a word of praise or kindness. Look at that person and your feelings toward them very carefully. Are your feelings softening, becoming warmer? You can learn to feel warmly toward your enemies. This has happened before and will happen again. Why do we hold so strongly to the concept that this person is definitely enemy? Now move your attention to the stranger. Imagine how one act of kindness or anger from this person could immediately turn him or her into a friend or an enemy, respectively. There is no inherent definite stranger there. There is no sound reason for the feelings of indifference that we hold on to. Remember that your present friend and your present enemy were both strangers to you beforehand, and this enemy could become a friend or an enemy now. Maintain your awareness of these three people in front of you. Think about the fragile impermanence of these relationships. It is only your misconceived belief in the concreteness of these labels of friend, enemy, and stranger that holds your mind back from the possibility of change and fluidity. Your friend, enemy, and stranger all want happiness, just as much as you do. In this respect, we are all equal. Also, everyone is equal in having the potential to develop their minds to the fullest extent and to achieve ultimate clarity and compassion. The differences that we see in people are superficial, based only on our mistaken and narrow self-centered views. In fact, everyone is equal and deserving our care and compassion. None of this means that we should not discriminate at all. On a practical level, our ability to distinguish between actions and individuals is necessary. Naturally, we feel closer to some people, are wise to keep our distance from others. This is not in any way contradictory to the meditation above. The point of the meditation is to develop equal concern, equal regard for everyone, for their well-being, whether they help or harm us at this point in time, and to see that the labels that we put on others are often arbitrary, mistaken, and very changeable. Okay, I just want to explain briefly what Tonglen meditation is. We're not going to do it, but it's a practice that is popularly called exchanging self and other, except that it's a little different. It's not exactly exchanging yourself with an other. In Tibetan, Tong means to give, and Len means to take. So take, give and take. So what you do, of course, is you sit and your meditation process, posture, and then you imagine all the beings in the world who are suffering. And you can think of people who have diseases, people with negative thought, people in great poverty, and then imagine that you're breathing in all of their suffering, whatever it is, disease, poverty, negative minds, in the form of black smoke. And then that black smoke goes down through your nostrils, and it's absorbed in the self-cherishing thought that covers your heart like tar. And it interferes with your ability to free all sentient beings from your suffering, to have this equanimity. And it completely destroys that self-cherishing thought. And then you breathe out white, pure light, and it purifies those beings of all their sufferings, whatever it is, disease, poverty, negative minds, or whatever. And so you keep doing that, you know, breathing in the suffering, black smoke, and breathing out pure white light to purify them. And so that's called Tonglen meditation. That's a very advanced practice. It's very hard to do that, you know, especially when you're doing it for anyone, you know, especially your enemy or even a stranger, you know. But it's very helpful. It's some of the practices that the practitioners did when they went through that fMRI. They used Tonglen, compassion, great compassion. Because what they would do is sometimes they would flash something really awful, like someone's hand being chopped off, you know, and then immediately what happened was that, you know, that gamma band would, the light would light up. And then what they found out that was that the gamma band continued to light up even after the experiment. It, you know, kept growing, but that's what they do. So what they're doing is that they're doing, I'm imagining, I'm not going to say what they're thinking, but this would be a practice that they could do to increase it. It's not just to, you know, be appalled at this horrible, you know, a thing that happened to this person, but to breathe in the pain and then give them healing light. So that would enhance your compassion. Okay, so now I'd like to do a review. Meditation of all the things that we've learned instead of sitting here and asking questions and making you answer them. So you can sit and you can just, you know, have your eyes open and just listen, or you can, you know, be in meditation posture. So what is the definition and the purpose of meditation? Just try to think. Can you remember that? The definition and purpose of meditation. So in Tibetan, the answer is meditation is gom, to become familiar with something, and the purpose of meditation is to reduce negative afflicted thoughts. The next question, describe the 7-point meditation posture. I try to remember that. So the answer is, well, if you're sitting on a cushion, you have your legs crossed, your hands held loosely on your lap, usually right on left with thumbs touching, shoulders and arms are relaxed, arms are slightly akimbo away from your torso, your back is straight, upright, and relaxed, and your eyes are closed, lightly open to admit a little light. Unfocused, gaze downward, your jaw and mouth are relaxed. Your tongue should rest lightly on your upper palate, with the tip of your tongue lightly touching the back of your upper teeth, and your head is tilted slightly forward. So that was the 7-point Virochana meditation posture. And sometimes there's the ace, and that is your breath. And what are the 3 types of meditation? I mentioned this earlier. The 3 types are review meditation, analytical meditation, and concentration meditation. So what you do is you review a teaching or a topic that was taught to you. Then you analyze it from different points of view, compare it with maybe things that you've experienced in your life to see if it's true. And if you accept it and something shifts in your heart, you feel this realization coming up, then you focus single-pointedly on that realization, and that's concentration meditation. So that's review, analytical, concentration. What are the obstacles to meditation and their antidotes? So the obstacles are excitement and laxity or dullness. So what is the antidote for excitement? Well, you focus on your breath to calm the mind. You imagine your mental image, yet your object, to be very heavy or small. You reflect on a sobering subject such as death or impermanence. Check your physical posture. Make sure your head is not held too high. Lower the lights in your room and be patient and easy on yourself. The antidote for laxity or dullness. Check your physical posture, straighten your back, open your eyes halfway, increase the light in your room, reflect on something joyful, especially if you feel depressed, and get enough sleep. And of course, I did those 2 meditation practices also. What are the different parts of a meditation session? Well, it's settling the mind, motivation, the actual session, and the dedication. What's the difference between meditation and a simple relaxation exercise? Relaxation exercises help us to feel better, to be healthier in the moment. And meditation transforms the mind, bringing greater peace and long-lasting satisfaction in life. Now finally, contemplate your own meditation practice and the benefits and difficulties you have experienced these past few weeks. I dedicate all the positive energy and experiences that all of us have generated during these last few weeks for the benefit of all sentient beings. May our meditation practice transform our minds so that we may develop limitless compassion, equanimity, and joy. May we have long and happy lives, and may we always have the time and opportunity to practice spiritual practice and meet qualified teachers. I'd like to thank all of you for the opportunity that you gave me to share this information with you as a Dharma friend and for your help in making this class a success. Now, I'm going to call your name. I think three people completed the completion card. So if you could come up. Steve Acosta. Amori Parker. Thank you. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing it right. Thank you. And Dennis Burke here today? No? Oh. Thank you. Okay. Now you've had to actually be here to attend all the sessions in order to receive a certificate and also to have completed all practices. Now I noticed that there are a few other people who have been here, who have attended all the sessions but did not complete a completion card. Anybody want to change your mind and get one? Okay. All right. Now I have several here. Let's see. And I didn't know whether they're just too shy or what. Let's see. Marianne Burke.
Too shy.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Kramaya Cabos? Kramaya? Okay. Thank you. David Godwin. Is he here today? David Godwin? No. Beth Lake? No. Okay. And Gloria Putman. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay, today is the 7th. Yeah. And Naren Reddy? Yeah.
Thank you for the phone.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. All right. Yay! Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.